Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It is great to see everyone this morning. So excited to be a part of worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First off, we'd like to find out who is in worship this morning. We have a simple way of doing that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes, and send it down. So everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, when you're done, if you could send the pew pad back to where it got started. And we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you wouldn't mind tearing out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Reminder to our children, after the first hymn, hymn number 160, we're going to invite the kids to come right down here for just a few moments to see me. Also, no Sunday evening activities tonight. No scheduled activities tonight. Bible study for tomorrow. There is no Bible study tomorrow, and grace notes on Tuesday. The rest of the schedule is listed there on the back of your bulletin. Just want you to make note of that. And other announcements are listed there as well. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You gave us your information on the pew pad. I'm very thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so very much for being a part of worship this day. Had the opportunity last week to be at Caswell with our youth. Just an incredible time. And we spent the weekend traveling from Palm Sunday up to the crucifixion. And we ended with a worship service on Monday morning, remembering Jesus' death. And the light was, the candles were extinguished, and the thing that I wanted to remind them that morning was the same thing that gets us up this morning, is that the cross was not the end. It's the empty tomb that God was pointing to. The life having power over death that gets us up this and every morning. We have so much to be thankful for what God has done and what Jesus overcame because of his love for us. We come to worship him. Will you pray with me? Our Father, it is beyond words how we feel when we know the tomb is empty. With the difficulty of what Jesus endured on the cross, the torture, the pain, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, what he endured, and the darkness of those days. But the light broke through Easter, and all made sense. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a second and a third and a fourth chance. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you for your love that gets us up this and every morning and gives us a reason to worship every day. Be in this place, we pray. May your spirit come into this worship service. Be in this sanctuary, and may you be pleased by everything that's done in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The ministry of God's word comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. I invite you to look in your bulletin for our call to worship this morning. It is a responsive call to worship. I will be reading the light print aloud and invite you to read the dark print aloud. Let us read together. Joyful is the sound we make this morning, for this day liberates us from doubt and fear. Thankful is the song we sing,
for this day moves us past darkness.
Hopeful is the prayer upon our lips,
for this day awakens in us long-awaited new life.
Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there among them."
Christ lives here and now. He is among us at this very moment.
Oh, in the great healer.
Kids, come on down. We can wait. Good to see everybody this morning. Okay, this morning's going to be a little different because I think some of you have probably already had some chocolate. So I'm going to do something. I need everybody to kind of gently slide in as close to this step. Just slide because I want to read you a story, okay? All right, good job. And it's got pictures and everything. So this is a really, 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 really important story. So I need everybody listening, hands to ourselves. Okay, are you ready? This is called God's Wonderful Surprise. Do you like surprises? I like surprises. Listen to this. Jesus' friends were sad. They would never see their best friend again. How could this happen? Wasn't Jesus the rescuer, the king God had promised? It wasn't supposed to end like this. Yes, but whoever said anything about the end? Just before sunrise on the third day, God sent an earthquake and an angel from heaven. When the guards saw the angel, they fell down with fright. The angel rolled the huge stone away, sat on top of it, and waited. At the first glimmer of dawn, Mary Magdalene and other women headed to the tomb to wash Jesus' body. The early morning sun slanted through the ancient olive trees, drops of dew glittering on leaves and grasses, little tears everywhere. The friends walked quietly along the hilly path. Do you see them walking? You see them going to the tomb? Through the olive groves until they reached the tomb, and immediately they noticed something odd. It was wide open. They peered through the opening into the dark tomb, but wait! It was gone. Whoa. And something else. A shining man was there, with clothes made from lightning. Don't be scared, the angel said. Y'all see the angel? How big is that angel compared to everybody else? The angel said, but they couldn't help it. They screamed anyway. What are you doing here? This is a tomb, and tombs are for dead people. The woman couldn't speak. Jesus isn't dead anymore, he said. He's alive again. And their hearts leapt. And then the angel laughed with such gladness that they felt for a moment, as if they had woken up from a nightmare. The other women rushed home, but Mary stayed behind. How could it be true? Jesus was definitely dead. How could he be alive?
Just then, Mary heard someone else in the garden. Who do you think she heard? Let's see. Perhaps it's the gardener, she thought. He'll know where Jesus' body is. I don't know where Jesus is, Mary said urgently. I can't find him. She was, and he had found her. Mary. Only one person said her name like that. She could hear her heart thumping. She turned around. She could just make out a figure. She shaded her eyes to see and thought she was daydreaming. She wasn't dreaming. She was seeing. Jesus! Mary fell to the ground. Sudden tears filled her eyes, and great sobs shook her whole body. And all she wanted in that moment was to cling to Jesus and never let him go. You'll be able to hold on to me later, Mary, Jesus said gently, and always be close to me. But now, go and tell the others that I'm alive. See Jesus? And you see Mary? What do you think she did? Mary ran and ran all the way to the city. She had never run so fast or so far in all her life. She felt she could have run forever. She didn't even feel like her feet touched the ground. The sun seemed to be dancing and gleaming and bounding across the sky, racing with her and shining brighter than she could ever remember in the clear, fresh air. And it seemed to her that morning, as she ran, almost as if the whole world had been made anew. Almost as if the whole world was singing for joy. The trees, tiny sounds in the grass, the birds, her heart. Was God really making everything sad come untrue? Was he making even death come untrue? She couldn't wait to tell Jesus' friends. They won't believe it, she laughed. She was right, of course. They found the empty tomb. That Jesus is alive. That is the whole point of why we come to church. That Jesus is alive. Can you say that with me? Jesus is alive. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this beautiful story, this true story. That Jesus is alive. And he loves us. And no matter what we face, he is with us. What a great truth that we can base all of our lives on. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you. And now to pick up where Jeff had read earlier in John 20, chapter 9, and also to underscore our wonderful children's message today, I'll be reading, starting with verse 9. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word. Would you join me in prayer, please? O Lord, this morning we can truly say, grace, grace, amazing grace. We thank you for sending your Son to suffer, to die on our behalf, that he might take to the grave all of our sin, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and that is to receive that cleansing that comes from the death, the resurrection, and the life of Jesus within us. We thank you as sisters and brothers in Christ together as one voice, saying glory, hallelujah, for that great act that saved us, bringing salvation into our lives through your wonderful grace and allowing us to have newness of life every day on into eternity, where we have a great future waiting for us, a glorious time with you and with all those who've gone before. Lord, it's so wonderful that we can come to you as Mary was so brokenhearted. We can come to you, but you come to us in our grief, in our despair, in confusion. There she stood, crying, and you softly called her name. How many times in the darkness of night or in the midst of trial have you called our names as we have listened for your voice and assured us that you will always be there for us? How wonderful that we do not have to seek high and low for you. We do not have to run after you, but that you're so available to us because you rose from the dead and can now live within and be all around us and with us. How wonderful it is that all we have to do is call out that powerful name of Jesus and you are there to walk with us, to uphold us, to pick us up when we fall and dust us off and set us on our way, and to find that kind of fulfillment and satisfaction that comes from living a life that you call us to live in love, in peace, and joy, and in service to you and to others. Thank you for that special plan you have for each of our lives as we listen for that voice that calls our name. So thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for this day of celebration, and thank you for every day because you are in it, alive and well, leading us, guiding us, and loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you that we can come together on this beautiful Easter morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We confess that we don't understand the depth of your love. We thank you for the forgiveness and grace you extend to us. Thank you for College Park Baptist Church, for our ministerial and support staff who help guide and encourage us. Thank you for the renewal we receive through worship, for your word, and for the blessing of music. Thank you for the fellowship we experience when we are together as your church. We pray your blessing on the offerings that are given today. Help us to give generously through our finances and also to give of ourselves by showing love and extending forgiveness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That cost a life, paid my way, death its price, when it flows. cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave tried to hide. This precious blood that gave me life. In 3 days he breathed again, rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. To tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he is coming back for you. This life, this price, this blood, this life, there is a blood, it sights the blind, it heals the sick, the lonely finds, it has a chains fall upon the ground. So pour it out to cleanse my soul and let its liquid glory flow. Because he to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he is coming back for you. And so to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he is coming back for you. This life, this price, this blood, this life, this life, this price, this blood, this one. To tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he is coming back for you. This life, this price, this blood, this one. This life, this price, this blood, this one.
Well, it's Easter Sunday morning, it's Resurrection Sunday. Shall we state the obvious? I mean, really, what is recorded in these 18 verses that Jeff and Krista read, the story that Jeff told, the story that's been told through the music, it's one of the most unbelievable notions that the human mind has ever entertained, isn't it? Someone rising from the dead. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, following 3.5 years of arguably the most successful, quote-unquote, ministry in history. I mean, miracles were worked. Unbelievable miracles that he worked. And the ones we have recorded here are unbelievable. But then the gospel writers themselves all say, you know, there's more. I mean, there's a whole lot more. We just didn't have room to write them all down. That's a rough translation, but that's kind of what they were saying. There's so much more that went on. You had the healings. You had the teaching. One of the most popular personalities in human history with the common folk. Those that made life happen. This man willingly gives up himself to the most painful death that our sadistic human minds have ever dreamed up. That's unbelievable enough. But the accounts of these verses we've read this morning, let me back up for a minute into the whole Holy Week narrative. Perhaps the most believable part of the Holy Week narrative is that the disciples ran away like scared children when things went bad. Because I can relate to that. You know, the human response, if we had seen what Jesus went through, the human response is probably just to run. You want to get away from that. You know, what is Jesus thinking? I don't know, man, but I'm not going down with him. I mean, that is the human response. That part kind of makes sense to us as human beings. I think that's an overstatement of the obvious. But if you go back to today's story, these 18 verses that they read, how can any intelligent person really believe that this carpenter from Nazareth could really rise from the dead? As he predicted he would, by the way. He said this would happen. And it really did. What are the chances of that really happening? Shall I state the obvious that this story really does not compute with modern scientific theory? In matter of fact, in theory, it's impossible. It can't happen. Now shall I state the obvious that God deals in the impossible? Amen? That's where he specializes. He works in the areas our minds are not even capable of going. That's what he does. Jesus did indeed rise from the dead to the embarrassment of the trained soldiers who were guarding the tomb and who, like the disciples, ran away. Never mind that offense was punishable by death. Call it a cover-up if you want, but somehow they weren't punished for that. He did rise from the dead to the frustration of those who killed his body and wanted to kill his story. He did rise from the dead to the amazement of Mary Magdalene, Peter, John, and the others that saw him that day. He did rise from the dead, as was testified to by over 500 witnesses. If you take the witnesses from the Gospels, that's significant enough. But then the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about how Jesus appeared to over 500 at one time. And then he goes on to say, by the way, a lot of those people are still alive. You don't have to take my word for it. Ask somebody. Chances are they know Joseph ben Joseph or somebody that lives in the next village who was actually there. Over 500 actually at once saw the risen Lord between his resurrection and his ascension back to the Father. He did rise from the dead. And he turned those scared disciples into bold witnesses, many of whom died for their faith. Shall I state the obvious? That they were either convinced or idiots. Hundreds of them. Thousands of them through church history. They were either convinced. Yeah. I think that's it. They were convinced. Shall I state the obvious that despite opposition's best efforts throughout history to disprove the facts of these 18 verses, more and more and more continue to believe. So why do we believe? I've heard all kinds of explanations. There's a rational approach. There's an experiential approach. There's all kinds of reasons why people believe that Jesus is indeed risen and Jesus is Lord. Jesus is a relationship and welcomes a relationship with us. The Son of God crucified for us wants a personal relationship with us. Yes, shall I state the obvious? That is kind of unbelievable. It really is. And shall I state the obvious that this Jesus from Nazareth, reported to have been born of a virgin, must have been one of three things? If you think about it, you've only got three choices when you are confronted with the story of Jesus. You have to conclude he is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. That's the three choices. If you look at his life, you are forced with that choice. If you think he's a liar, then he is the most blatant human liar in all of human history because he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of the God who created the universe. And as such, he is the awaited Messiah. The children of Israel had been waiting for their Messiah for thousands of years. And he said, yeah, that's me. He claimed to forgive sins. Cast out demons, make blind people see, deaf people hear, lepers clean, and all kinds of other miracles. So was he the biggest liar ever? No, he wasn't, was he, Jared? Or was he a lunatic? Was he a lunatic? After all, why would anyone enjoying such an elaborate con take a chance on having the whole house of cards come falling down by doing the things that he did and said in the last 3 months or so of his ministry? Crazy things people thought he was claiming and saying. He had the people right there in the palm of his hand. He could work a crowd like no one else. So he must have been crazy, a lunatic, to throw all of that away in the prime of his life and allow them to crucify him. He must have been crazy. Shall I state the obvious here? If you don't believe he's a liar, and by the way, you've got plenty of historical record to back you up on that, and you don't believe he was a lunatic, nor do I, nor does Jared, then the only choice left is that he is exactly who he said he is. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the arisen Messiah offering spiritual life that transcends mortality and promises eternity in the full presence of God and all those believers who have gone before us. If that doesn't get you excited, make you want to shout, Reed, I expect you to shout hallelujah right there, sister. Man, he is Lord of all or nothing at all. You see, for lordship, is an all-inclusive term. Shall I state the obvious here when I say that there are some who will never believe? Why is that? Oh, we can name all the reasons we want, but I'm afraid one reason is because the lives that we lead do not match up with our story today. You see, we claim to follow Christ as Lord, and yet our actions and our words just simply do not, they don't match up with what we know about His Lordship. We sing, I serve a risen Savior. We didn't this morning, but there's a popular hymn. We sing it all the time. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what men say. We sing that, and yet we lead lives of despair and defeat and self-absorbed opulence and or misery. Our lives don't match up with our story. Shall I state the obvious when I say that the reason some may not believe is not because the story of a risen Savior is unbelievable, but because we are unbelievable and we're the only Jesus that some people may ever know. Yeah. Shall I state the obvious here when I say it's time to quit playing church and be the church? Be the empowered people of God to proclaim the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Be ambassadors to a broken world who really, I believe they really want and they need something significant to believe in. They really desire to know that this life is meaningful. And we need to point them to the one who gives life meaning. Amen? We need to point them to Jesus the Christ. On the front of your order of service, it says, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. That should be our life calling. We are Easter people. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And I want to show you what difference He has made in my life and He can make in your life. That's the message. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we do ask for your help as we proclaim the good news of who Jesus is. And who Jesus is in our own lives. We pray that our lives would begin to match up with the words we say in the story that we've read this morning. The true story of your Son and how He is risen indeed. Father, we pray that you would walk with us and that we would be sensitive to your calling in our life each and every day so that our story would be believable. Because it is truly our experience. It is truly our encounter with the risen Christ that has changed us. And as we do that, help us to remember to give all the praise and the glory to you. For it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And if you do not have that relationship with Christ, I invite you. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. I invite you to come talk with me. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have that personal relationship with the risen Lord. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but my life's just not quite matching up to it right now. This is your time as well. As you sing, you just pour yourself out to God. He knows. You're not telling him anything he doesn't know. Just confess where you've fallen short and ask him to forgive you and to renew your heart and to renew your mind. So that you can live for Him. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this church, I highly recommend it. Been here for 23 years. Loved most every day of it. Loved most every day of it. Wonderful group of believers. Many ways we receive members. And I'd be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together.
Rise.
you to do a couple things following the benediction and the response. Greet one another. We have a lot of extended family here today, a lot of guests with us. Be sure and greet one another, encourage one another before we go from this place. I also want to give you a word of instruction. We'll have a spoken benediction and then the hallelujah chorus for a response. Typically, in the order of service, we put the little asterisk beside those places where we ask you to stand. I recognize you've been standing for a long time already. I also recognize that many of you just insist we need to stand for the hallelujah chorus. So we're going to give you permission to do whichever one you want. If you need to sit down during that time, nobody's going to talk bad about you or point at you or anything. You go ahead and be seated during that time if you'd like to. All right? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. Father, it's a glorious day to be in your house as your children. Father, receiving encouragement from you, even as we praise you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. Father, help us to be obedient to your calling daily. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. those who had... Yeah. For those of you who purchased Easter lilies, you're welcome to take them with you today. Thank you. Have a great week.